Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Promenade Merchants Podcast. We are an independent Star Trek podcast that is back from our seasonal break because Star Trek Discovery is on its way back. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm David Majors. I am joined once again by my fantastic co-host, Heather Kirby. Hello, Heather. It's good to do this again.
It's exciting to do this again. And so this is our special episode for the last days of Disco Festival hosted by the Strange New Pod and the Duras Sisters. So we are recording this roughly a week before it will air on the Strange New Pod's YouTube channel, which is why we're doing this in video, which we
We're live. We're actually live right now. We're totally live right now.
We don't have to lie about that. None of the podcasts are live. It's okay. But this will be on the Strange New Pod's YouTube channel around this time next week.
So yes, and we collectively want to give a big thanks to shout out to everybody at Strange New Pod for inviting us on to be a part of this festival. And just to celebrate the significance of Star Trek Discovery.
Yes. And, you know, so for these podcast festival episodes, we always have to come up with a topic and a specific theme that we're going to talk about. And, you know, the title of our episode for today is For the Love of Disco, because you and I both have this mutual just pure love of Discovery. And so that's the journey we're going to go on in this episode and just celebrate our own love of Discovery, how it reignited our love in Star Trek, how it brought us into the fandom world, the Trek fandom world. And then, you know, what we feel about this last season coming and how it's going to make us feel. And we're doing this in video, which means everybody gets to see me get emotional in video.
Me too, probably. Me too. Now, if you're new to the podcast, hi, thanks for listening. I'm David. That's Heather. We talk about Star Trek. And we do this in a three-act format. We're going to start with the old business. Then we'll go into the new business, and then we'll go into the upcoming business where we look a little bit further ahead. Now, just to start us off with the old business, Heather, I loved how you worded this in the show notes. So I would love you to break this down.
So starting out for our old business segment of this episode, it is how Star Trek Discovery reignited our love of Star Trek, because Star Trek Discovery was the first new Star Trek series in, I believe it was 16 years. Somebody can correct my math on that. I don't know. But it's the first new Star Trek series that had premiered on some form of television in 16 years. And it was kind of at least for both of us, and I think for a lot of other fans in the fandom can relate to this as well, it reignited our love of Star Trek and reminded us how much we loved Star Trek in general. It reminded me of how much I loved science fiction in general, and just lit that fire of Star Trek love again in all of us. And that's why it holds such a special place in our hearts, I think.
I definitely agree with all of those things. I have described Star Trek in many ways as my true north, as far as things that I like. Star Trek has been a part of my life since I was a kid. And after Enterprise, it went dormant for a while. And my fandom, like a lot of other Star Trek fans, the fandom went kind of dormant inside of me, and I pursued other interests and other things until the Kelvin movies in the Kelvin timeline came along. And that was exciting. And seeing those little bits of Star Trek again were fun. It was fun. But I had always said to people that may not have really been immersed in the Star Trek franchise, who got into the franchise through the movies, I would always say to them, Star Trek was always best as episodic television. If you really want to get Star Trek, you have to watch the episodic television. And when the news broke, I actually screamed and held my mouth because, one, as a fan of The Walking Dead at the time, I was slightly bummed hearing that Sonequa Martin-Green was leaving The Walking Dead, as her character Sasha would be moving on. But then when the announcement was made that Sonequa Martin-Green would be leading a brand new Star Trek television series, I felt like I got shot out of a cannon. It was the most excited I had been for a television series in who knows how long. And I was overwhelmed with hype and excitement for it. And I got a chance to thank Sonequa Martin-Green for being the catalyst of the return and the resurgence of Star Trek as a franchise. And it really did start with Discovery in 2017.
I mean, I my story is different, but slightly similar as well. Like, I grew up, Star Trek, especially The Next Generation, was one of the first shows I really fell in love with and really called myself a fan of. And I always considered myself a Star Trek fan, even though it was primarily just TNG, even though there were other series out that came after it. Like, TNG was my thing, but I always called myself a Star Trek fan. And I got very excited for the Kelvin movies. And like, the Kelvin movies came out around the time I was in college. So I like to say my college years were where I had the opportunity to really embrace fandom in a way that I didn't when I was younger. And I don't mean this by any shot at my parents, but it was kind of one of those things where, like, I was only allowed to watch whatever they wanted to watch on the TV.
Yes.
And if they didn't want to watch it, then I wasn't allowed to watch it. Okay.
This was very similar with my mom until she realized that I liked watching TNG too.
Yeah.
And then, really funny, I was the one in our family that started watching Deep Space Nine first before everybody else.
Yeah.
So I'm such a Star Trek hipster that way. I can't help it. I watched TNG, of course. I watched DS9. I watched Voyager. I did go in and out with Enterprise during its airing, but I did finally watch it all. And I've said this many times on various podcasts. The Discovery announcement and the return of Star Trek as a television franchise felt in many ways like I was coming home. I was coming home to a franchise that had always been very much at the core of my heart. And it just the fact that the franchise had not been forgotten really meant a lot to me. Deep down.
Yeah. So, like I said, I was just so excited when the Discovery announcement came. Like, this was a new Star Trek show, and it was just like, it was my time to fully immerse myself in it and just get excited about it. And like, I got excited about every single casting announcement. I wasn't as huge of a fan of The Walking Dead, but I knew of Sonequa Martin-Green. But at the same time, I was hugely excited for the announcement of Michelle Yeoh.
Definitely. Definitely.
And Jason Isaacs. And then on a secondary level, Anthony Rapp. Because, like, college was where I discovered Rent. And it became a huge part of my life there as well. And to see all these people whose work I enjoyed being a part of Star Trek as well. But then it's like the first season of Discovery.
Can I just give a quick shout out to Wilson Cruz? Because along with Sonequa Martin-Green, Wilson Cruz being announced as the cast, I was really excited because I remembered my so-called life on ABC. And I remembered Ricky Vasquez. So the news about Wilson Cruz was really super exciting to both me and my sister. Like, hey, it's Ricky Vasquez. That's so cool.
Yeah. So, but the first season of Discovery was what really reminded me how much I love Star Trek and reminded me, like, how exciting it was to watch Star Trek and to love Star Trek. And very honestly, after watching that first season of Discovery was when I went back and watched everything. I went back and watched Deep Space Nine, which I hadn't watched before when it was on air. I went back and watched Voyager. I went back and watched all of Enterprise. I had actually watched some of Enterprise when it was airing, but I went back and just totally and completely immersed myself in Star Trek again. And that's how amazing and important, like, that initial first season of Discovery was. Like, it reminded me who I was as a person, who I was as a fan, and how much I love Star Trek. And like, there's so many people out there that will say, like, Star Trek Discovery, at least, especially season one, isn't really Star Trek. But it still is. And for it to have that effect on a fan like me, when I watched it and was like, yeah, this is what I love, and I'm going to go watch all of Star Trek after this and all the Star Trek I hadn't watched before, that's important. And it's wonderful and it's beautiful in so many ways. And like that's why we love and that's why we celebrate Discovery so much.
I remember when people would start saying Star Trek Discovery isn't real Star Trek. And I defiantly bought my very first Starfleet uniform, and it was a Discovery Season 1 uniform. Just as an act of defiance to the so-called true Trekkies out there. Because if you know the history, for years, people said in the beginning, The Next Generation wasn't Star Trek. They said Deep Space Nine wasn't Star Trek. They said Voyager wasn't Star Trek because the lead was a woman. And just on and on and on and on and on. And the more over time, especially with season one and the fact that it ended on such a strong note and that we've made it to this point, I feel like history, just like Deep Space Nine, is going to be very, very kind to Star Trek Discovery. I truly believe that.
Well, and the other thing that really made me excited about my love of Star Trek again was that there was a character that I very honestly, for the first time in all of Star Trek, that I could really relate to in season one of Discovery, and that was Paul Stamets. And
yes,
you know, I know there's a lot of people, there's a lot of characters in Discovery that hold that distinction for a lot of different fans, whether it be Tilly, whether it be Saru, whether it be Michael, whether it's Stamets like it is with me. But there was something about seeing an awkward science guy who literally altered his DNA and struggled with that process in season one, like, and was a queer character as well, an openly queer character on the show. Like, all of those things, it was very honestly, and I mean, there are characters in earlier Star Trek that I'm like, yeah, you know, they're cool. I appreciate and respect them. But Stamets is the first one I related to on a deep, important level. And that's a huge part of reigniting that love as well. To just have that relationship with a character that you look at and go, I can understand. And that's me on that TV screen. And I get it. It's a huge part of what makes Discovery so important.
I think that one of the great things that Discovery has done is it shows a sense of thematic representation. It doesn't just tokenize certain characters like Paul Stamets, like Hugh Culber, and Adira and Tal, who we'll talk about later. It doesn't tokenize them. They're just there as they are, living their lives. And I think, and this is one of the big things that I love about Discovery, is that all of their characters are so human. You feel in the beginning Michael Burnham's sense of isolation. She's a Starfleet mutineer. She doesn't fit in on Vulcan. It's just that relatability that I had with Michael Burnham of just in so many ways being surrounded by people, but also simultaneously feeling completely alone and growing into becoming a part of a team again. And I think that is a good way to explain how Discovery brought us back into Star Trek fandom, because you feel like you're kind of isolated, but once Discovery came back, you realize that there is a Star Trek fandom and it can grow and you can become a part of it.
Yes.
Which leads us into new business.
Yes, that leads us into new business for sure.
So this one was about how Star Trek Discovery brought us into the world of fandom. I might ramble a bit on this one, and I think I will. I think I might sit down with my legs crossed on the floor, CM Punk style, because I might have some things to say. But Heather, I will let you go first.
Well, you know, that's one of the crazy parts about Discovery being the first show of this era, is that it's a new world of fandom. I didn't start getting active on Twitter until Star Trek Discovery premiered.
Good for
and
you.
So my Twitter really became about being a Star Trek fan, and that was how I was able to interact with other fans and also like interact with the actors and creatives on the show. And I think that that's one of the coolest parts of fandom nowadays, is that you have the ability to do that. And there's so many of them, especially when it comes to Discovery, who in the first few years of the show were very open on Twitter and very open to interacting with people. And as a fan, that in turn makes you even more excited, I think. And so, and like me being a quiet, awkward, nerdy girl, it was easy to sit there and I know like this sounds like a reason like people get all nasty on the internet as well, but it works in a positive way for people who are more introverted to be able to sit behind a computer and type out their thoughts and talk to people that they wouldn't normally have the confidence to talk to in person. Because I don't believe, like, gosh, 2017, how long ago was that now?
7 years.
Okay. I don't believe the person I was 7 years ago would have the confidence to talk to actors and creatives in person that I do now. And I'm still not saying I don't have I don't really have a whole lot of confidence to do it now, but I definitely would have not had that confidence 7 years ago. And the ability to communicate with them on Twitter was exciting and helped build my confidence in a way. You know, I don't think I would have never had the confidence to podcast like we're doing right here if had it not been for interactions I had on Twitter and the folks and the fans that I met on Twitter. Like, the Trek podcasting community were people I met on Twitter and really opened their willingness to communicate with me. And that's how I initially started podcasting. And now some of them are my nearest and dearest friends. And that's so special. And very honestly, I owe all of that to Discovery. I would not have near as many Trek friends that I do right now had it not been for the conversations I had joining the Trek fandom around Star Trek Discovery.
I completely agree. From my end, I have had an awareness and an involvement in varying degrees of fandom culture for now a little bit over 20 years. And I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. I've also had a passion for podcasting for now over a decade. And with the other projects that I've done, I have always struggled with something that is very important to me, and that is collaboration and interaction with other fans. Not necessarily the creatives and the people that produce the shows, but other fans who are doing the same things I am. It did not go very well with some of the other podcasts I've done. It did not go well in some other fandom communities that I've done. A lot of other fandoms and podcasts, they like to stay in their bubble. And I'm the exact opposite of that. I like interacting with as many other people as I can because I like sharing this thing that I love. And I love seeing other people have this fandom. And I have said this several times. Of all of the fandom communities that I have been a part of and observed, the Star Trek fandom community, whether it's Trekkies on Twitter, whether it's the Star Trek podcasts, whether it's people we've met at conventions, Star Trek fans are the most enjoyable, most inclusive, and most welcoming fan community that I have ever encountered. And it's by a pretty decent margin. The next one is not that close. And that makes me even more proud to be a part of this and to remember what this franchise and what this show in particular, Star Trek Discovery, has grown. For me, Star Trek Discovery came along at just the right time in my life where I was looking for another project because my anime podcast was really kind of starting to wear on me a little bit, and it wasn't really going in the direction that I'd hoped it would go. And when 2017 came along and Star Trek Discovery was announced, I knew that I was going to eventually do a Star Trek podcast of some kind, because podcasting is something that I have done now for years and years and years. And I'm so glad and I'm so grateful that I found the perfect person to do this podcast with. And Heather, I say it as often as I can, you are a fantastic co-host, and I'm so happy and so grateful that you are doing this with me and we get to talk about Star Trek this much. I love every second of it, and I cannot thank you enough.
Thank you for being the technical person, because I wouldn't have the time or energy to do all the means to putting a podcast together. I just like to show up and talk. So.
And that is okay. That is totally okay. I do that on other podcasts too. It just showing up and talking is great. And I do not begrudge you one bit. And isn't it great how much of this that we have been able to experience together? We've had podcast guests that have become really good friends. We've met at conventions, plural, and we've made friends in real life and online. Yeah. And the Promenade Merchants podcast has been its own interesting little journey itself, hasn't it?
Yes, I definitely think it has.
And I'm overjoyed that it gets to keep going and we still get to keep talking about it, even though we kind of stopped in between the last season and the upcoming season of Discovery. But well, we're coming back. We are definitely coming back.
We needed a mental health break. It happens.
We did. So let's move into the upcoming business. And this one says, deep down, what Discovery means to us and what this last season means to us in particular. I know that I have some things I'd like to say. I might, again, deep dive a little bit. And Heather, I genuinely would love to hear how much Discovery has meant to you and how you feel about this last season.
Like I said, I apologize for anyone who's watching this, because you get to watch me be emotional on video. But Discovery means the world to me. It is honestly, over the past four seasons, it has become, I will say hands down, it is my favorite Star Trek show out of all of them. It just, each and every one of those characters are so wonderful and so important, and the journey that they have been on through season one and the Klingon War, through season two and the Red Angel and Pike and Spock, and through season three of jumping to the 32nd century and far into the future, a future that they had no idea of what would be there and what to expect and what to happen. This entire crew and cast of characters, I love them so much. And I get emotional thinking about it. And I think I've said this on the podcast before, but like at the start of every new season, it really does. It feels like coming home. I'm coming home to all these characters that I love. And I just get overwhelmed like at the initial start of the season because I'm so happy to see Discovery again. And I don't know what I'm gonna do when this show is over. Like, it's painful to think about that we only got 5 seasons with these characters. But honestly, in this day and age of television, 5 seasons is more than, yeah,
it's a win.
It's more than a lot of shows get. And so I'm very thankful for that. And I hope in my heart of hearts, I really hope that, you know, they really did this crew and this show right and gave them a proper send-off that people will feel satisfied with. And that's not something we can really judge right now. I mean, we're not going to be able to really judge that until we see it. But I hope they were able to do that. One thing I'm really looking forward to for this last season is that in all the previews and all the things we've seen leading up to it, it feels like for the first time in this show, it feels like the world is not ending. It feels like there is no life-threatening, galaxy-threatening mystery that they need to solve. And they just get to be a Star Trek crew and travel from planet to planet. And they get to enjoy themselves on some level. And I'm very excited to see that because I feel like after everything this crew has been put through, they deserve this last season of just finding their happiness. Each and every one of them deserve to find their happiness. You have Michael and Book who deserve to find love and be happy. You have Saru and his Vulcan president who deserve to find love and be happy. You have Stamets and Culber and Adira and Gray who have built this family for themselves. A queer found family that is so lovely and so important and deserves to be happy. You have Tilly, who has always been like a bubbling spot of joy in the show, and she deserves to find her career and her place and her meaning in life and deserves to be happy. You have like the smaller characters like Detmer, Awashikon, Reese. They all deserve to find things of enjoyment and be happy. And so I really hope that that's a theme that we will see throughout season 5 because each and every one of them deserve it.
Since you mentioned themes, and I'm big on themes and thematics, and one of the big things that is important to me when it comes to Star Trek Discovery is that when I watch the show, I feel like the overarching theme is progress. Everything that I see from Star Trek Discovery from the very beginning to now has always been about progress. From the announcement that a Black woman would be the lead till now, Star Trek Discovery has meant to move Star Trek forward. And that's why I continually compare it to Deep Space Nine, because that's exactly what Deep Space Nine did. And don't let the revisionist history fool you. A lot of times, there were a lot of Star Trek fans that were not happy with Deep Space Nine. They were not happy with the fact that it was pulling Star Trek, I wouldn't say kicking and screaming, but really kind of tugging at Star Trek and at Star Trek fans to move forward and think more progressively. And that is exactly what Discovery has done and continues to do. And there are so many different elements to Discovery that talk about just things that might be a little bit further beyond what we're thinking right now. The level of LGBTQ representation, some of the science is really out there. It's a little out there. The science fiction is sciencing pretty hard, and it's really interesting. And I will say, and I know that I'm probably in a minority of one, the inner action adrenaline junkie in me never, ever, ever got tired of Star Trek Discovery having to save the galaxy every season. I loved it every single time. And I remember in one of the trailers for season 5, you see Michael Burnham on top of the Discovery in an EV suit, and it looks like the Discovery is going at warp with her on top of the ship, and she says the phrase, "Never a dull moment." And for me, that's exactly what I'm looking for with Star Trek Discovery. I love that Star Trek Discovery is a never-ending Star Trek thrill ride. And I think I'm going to say out loud that Promenade Merchants podcast, it is Promenade Merchants, sorry, name of my own podcast, good Lord. Promenade Merchants podcast has always had sort of a Deep Space Nine theme and aesthetic. Star Trek Discovery has made its way to being my 1B Star Trek show to Deep Space Nine's 1A. I love it with all my heart. I love what it represents. I love the adventures. I love all of the characters, even Tilly, who I did not like in the beginning.
Okay, well, but that wasn't at a Jenkum Pog level of dislike.
Oh no,
right?
No. You remember the scene? I think it was in season 1, or it might have been early in season 2, where Tilly started talking to Paul Stamets, and she was trying to console him and make him feel better, and he was about to leave Discovery, mm-hmm. and he said to Tilly, to repeat this, "I will say fewer things." And that right there was exactly how I felt about Tilly back then. It was like, she's a sweet girl and I get it, but just sometimes she just needs to stop talking. And I said this on the Captain's show we just did with Strange New Pod, that Saru was able to allow her to get over her nerves and talk her way through things and gain a little more confidence. And as it went on, I grew to love Tilly just like everybody else. And I love these characters. I really do. I love what the show represents. I love the action. I love that this was the first television show that I saw on my 4K television that was really just a stark visual spectacle. I'm so happy that Star Trek has this level of production value because it's such a visually pleasing experience. And it's just been a complete, maybe the most complete television experience I've had in maybe 15 or 20 years. And this last season for me is just going to be a celebration. And I'm getting on the roller coaster of Star Trek Discovery, and I will be in the front seat, and my hands will be up, and I am ready for the ride.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm so glad that Strange New Pod decided to do this podcast festival, because discovery deserves to be celebrated. And like, and I just want to put this out there for every single Star Trek fan out there. If you are excited and you love the fact that we got three seasons of Star Trek Picard, that we are working on the third season of Strange New Worlds, that we've had four seasons of Lower Decks, that we have two seasons of Star Trek Prodigy, that we have a Section 31 movie starring the great Michelle Yeoh that just wrapped filming.
Okay. Academy Award winning Michelle Yeoh.
Yes, Academy Award winning Michelle Yeoh. If you are excited about any and all of that Star Trek, if you are excited about the upcoming Starfleet Academy show, none of this is possible without Star Trek Discovery.
Damn right.
Star Trek Discovery walked so everything else could run. And frankly, Star Trek Discovery didn't walk.
Star Trek Discovery ran.
Star Trek Discovery burst onto the scene so that everything else could come behind it.
To the point where people have been telling it to slow down. And I think that's my favorite thing about Discovery, is that it never let up. It never slowed down. Discovery never compromised anything. And that might be my favorite thing about it, and why I make so many parallels to Deep Space Nine, in that there were so few compromises. And I think that's when Star Trek is at its best.
Well, and honestly, I think from day one, from the start of season one, Star Trek Discovery came out and said, we're going to do this show our way. And this is going to be the Star Trek show that we're created. And they never wavered from that. Like, as much as people wanted to say, oh, it's not quite like Star Trek, or oh, it doesn't respect canon, or oh, it doesn't do this, then there were always slight changes in the show, like to jump it 300 years into the future. But it still respects canon. It still respects everything that came before it, because it is a Star Trek show. And ultimately, the core of any Star Trek show respects the Star Trek shows that came before it. And Star Trek Discovery does that. No matter how you feel about the characters and how you feel about the way it's put together, it is Star Trek to its core. It is about being emotional and being hopeful and believing in yourself. And all of those things are why I have so much love for it.
Star Trek Discovery, in my opinion, reminded people, even the most diehard Star Trek fans, what boldly go where no one has gone before really means. And I hope going forward, every Star Trek property coming forward remembers that. And we keep in mind that it started with Star Trek Discovery. This resurgence is because of Star Trek Discovery. And if you don't like it, fucking deal with it.
I would like to use this opportunity to remind everyone that, considering Michelle Paradise will not have a show to run after Star Trek Discovery is over, that she would be the perfect person to do a Star Trek Legacy. I hate that name. Well, we need to get rid of the name.
But the Promenade Merchants podcast, the Promenade Merchants podcast, we have agreed on this, is that we are not in favor of the name Star Trek Legacy.
Michelle Paradise would be the perfect person to be a showrunner for a show featuring Captain Seven and First Officer Raffi, and have a queer woman relationship be the primary focus of the show. the queer woman showrunner is the perfect person to focus a Star Trek show on a queer woman relationship. That is the show I want to see. Michelle Paradise needs a job when Discovery's done. I'm just throwing it out here into the universe. Make it so.
And guys, if you're so damn fixated on episodic television, she's already been involved with Strange New Worlds. Aha! There's no escape. So, yes, Michelle Paradise, absolutely. Bring her back, 100%. Heather, I think we covered just about everything.
Yeah, I think we did.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to the Promenade Merchants podcast, our contribution to the last days of disco. I'm David Majors. That's Heather Kirby. You can find us online at Prom Trek Pod, most places on the internet, on the site that we're not going to call X. We're going to call Twitter. I'm Call Me DJM. She is NerdyGal33. Never apologize for being nerdy. You can find the Promenade Merchants podcast wherever you get your podcasts, even though it seems like a lot of podcasting services seem to be diminishing these days. They're still out there. You can find us. Heather, on behalf of you and myself, thank you once again to Strange New Pod. I think I got everything. So I'm going to let you take it home.
Okay. If they don't want to include this part in the YouTube video, I understand, okay? But this is our outro, and so we have to do it.
I might cut this just to leave the explanation and make it confusing.
To everyone out there, all my Star Trek fans, all my wrestling fans, chin up, tits out, and watch for the shoes.